too many Tic Tacs in the town.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the 3:38 starting time. Please welcome from Toronto, Ontario, Canada, Matthew Wiley. Play away, please.
Oh, Golflandia 148. New track. I think the second week I've used that. But none of you listened to my COVID podcasts. Tijuana Panthers, new boots. Good track. New boots, new golf, new season. Got you, mosquito. Got you, brother. Smashed him. Smashed a mosquito. He knows who owns him now. Go tell your friends and family. I don't care if you're a good dad, Mosquito. Golflandia 148. We're back. We are back. And I did have the notes on the music because usually I have to go searching for the song because I don't know what it is. I discovered I had an affinity for surfer rock over this COVID-19 crisis. Amongst other things, if you stayed with me during the podcasts, I went into lunacy for a lot of it, but I did discover I like surfer rock on Spotify. So there you go. New tracks every week. It's the bonus part of Golflandia. Golflandia. The bugs in this room, I'm in Canada, right? Because that's where I'm from. I'm not going to tell you where I am in Canada, but I'm here. My children, I just realized, and that's why I'm late to do this show, left the door open. If you in the downstairs part of this cottage with the light on at night. If you've ever been up north during bug season and leave a door open with a light on, I walked in there and the bugs had taken over the room. They had basically set up a craps table. And yes, I'm the guy who doesn't know how to play craps. And they knew that. It is the one big failing in my life. I can't learn that game. Whenever they have an add-on or something in a movie with James Bond and they're playing craps, I just have to pretend I know what they're doing. I don't. Let me get the ad reads out first. We got a DraftKings. There will be a DraftKings contest this week. I've not gotten it from DraftKings, but I swear, on everything holy, on the Bugs family, I just smashed to obliteration. That's the strength of humans, Mosquito. I swear on it, we're going to have a DraftKings contest this week. So DraftKings read first. Let me do this one. It's been a while, so let me warm up. The PGA Tour is back. That's right, we have a full weekend of golf. $1 million contest. That's my insert. $1 million, the nuts on DraftKings to do $1 million contest the first week back. Their stock is through the roof, by the way. A lot of calls on DraftKings. What is it, 30? Let's do $32 calls. Let it trade back a little bit. Buy the 32s and pop. That thing's going to the moon. And even though the trophy is reserved for the winner, the big cash prizes don't have to be. To add to the excitement, DraftKings, the official daily fantasy game of the PGA Tour, is putting you in the center of the action with a free shot at $1 million with your first deposit. Easy to play. Pick six golfers, stay under the salary cap, submit your lineup before the tournament tees off on Thursday, sit back, follow the action. My input, golf is on the upswing. The trajectory is parabolic for golf. Natural spacing, social distancing, outdoors, Who's going to go to a football game anymore? And just be nuts to butts with guys from Philly. Nothing wrong with Philly. But still, just as an example. Forget it. NFL's... Nah. I'll do this redraftings. Hang on. The more red numbers they have in the leaderboard, the closer you'll be to winning some green. Rack up points for pars, birdies, finishing position, and more. It doesn't get any closer to major than this with all the heavy hitters taking the course and $1 million up for grabs at DraftKings. Download the DraftKings app now if you haven't and use promo code GOLFLANDIA and you get a free shot at $1 million as the top prize with your first deposit. And you have to give me 35%. That's not part of the read. That's promo code GOLFLANDIA to get a free shot at $1 million with your first deposit only at DraftKings. Now, have you dealt with erectile dysfunction? And you know how awkward it can be to talk about it in person? Well, luckily, there's a simple, convenient solution to get you, and I'm looking at you, the treatment you need without leaving the couch. Our friends at Roman have spent years building a digital platform that connects you with a doctor licensed in your state, all from the comfort of your own home. Roman makes it convenient to get the treatment you need right from your home, right from your couch. Just grab your phone, your computer, complete a free online visit. You'll hear back from a U.S. licensed physician within 24 hours. The doctor decides that the treatment is right for you. Bam, your medication is shipped to you right to your door. Free two-day shipping. You also get free unlimited follow-ups with your doctor. Anytime you have questions or want to adjust your treatment plan, there's no commitments. Cancel anytime. If you're struggling with ED, stay home. Go to GetRoman.com/GOLFLANDIA for a free online visit and free two-day shipping. GetRoman.com/GOLFLANDIA for a free online visit and free two-day shipping. Now, here's the content. Here's the content portion of the program. I launched the website today with Mike Miller. You know Mike Miller, Smart Golf Bets, smartgolfbets.com. We have used his site forever for free. The longest free roll in the history of websites. The amount of work it takes from Mike to put that site together over the last, 11 years has been tremendous. He was going to crap out. See, that's a term in craps, and I still don't know what it means. Is it related to the game? Do you crap out? I have partnered with him. I've helped him create a brand. I've helped him create a sustainable website that we can build on and continue the mission and the survivability of this amazing data with course form, course history, recent form, all of the things that we look at every week across 40 plus tours will survive. And so Mike and I have started a brand, greensquare.golf, Green Square Golf on Twitter. We launched it today. It crashed immediately because you guys hammered it. 200, the Web Faction is the host. Their site went down. I don't know if it's attributable to us, but it was good timing. So 200,000 apps and websites they host around the country go down. Sorry, kids, using Nickelodeon app. But people have to get their gambling on. So greensquare.golf is the website. All of Mike's sheets, all in the same format, all everything you know and loved, it's there. It's just that now you folks have to pay. The 10-year free roll trial is up. But we do have golf this week. We've got Ryan. I'm going to do a segment with Mike at the end of the show if you want to listen to the how Mike got started, the genesis of our relationship, the brand, why we put it together, and what we have in store for the future, plus his takes on this week on Colonial, which are really interesting, how he breaks down his tournament every week and comes to conclusion on a player. It will surprise you who he picks. But throughout the COVID process and these months off, I skipped 1 week at a podcast last week because I was traveling to Canada. But we talked about, we had Ghostlandia, because I swear my office was haunted. We had Yarnlandia. Because listen, in times like these, you have to know how to do shit. Plumber, electrician, framer, masonry. None of this content stuff mattered at all. Did you know how to knit? There, that's helpful. Knit me a sweater. We had Optionlandia, which is still existing in an underground Discord. We talk stocks. We go deep on options, which is the most exhilarating gambling on earth, I swear. Long green square golf, short stomach ulcers for when the site went down and I was laying on a bed in a pool of my own sweat. Is the site broken, Nathan? We had the Outlaw Tour, which was amazing. Their showdowns, their 3-day events. I hope that sustains itself. Those are great guys who run that tour. Their mission is fantastic. The Outlaw Tour was great. Nick Masons, the Yateses, the Limbisuits, they kept us all entertained. The Paul brothers. But now we've got real golf. Colonial this week. Ryan's coming up for his segment. He is back. Mike Miller, we're going to close with him. We've got everything. Everyone seems to be back on Twitter and engaged and excited. $1 million contest from DraftKings, that's insane. But all the characters are back. They hit me with the fish guy, the guy that just tweets at you and hits you with a fish when you have bad takes. He seems to hit me a lot with those. Nelson Adcock and his coffins, which is a great, completely on-point brand for him. Putt Sweat and him being a jerk. All of you. It's great. So I will take a few questions. Well, let me tell you this first. Before I take some of the questions on Twitter.org. Here is my... I like Spieth this week a lot. And the reason I like him is that... And I articulated this somewhat on Twitter. But I like him because he has been in a race to... There's no mediocrity for Jordan Spieth. He's the darling of the tour. He's the face of media. He is a genuinely amazing young man. Just human being. He's great for the game. He's great for the tour. He's a great representative. He's great charitably. And he's an elite golfer. All of that, he peaked so early. And then he became, this is the torch that will carry the tour into the next generation. Because Tiger was, you know, he's just 45 years old now. There has to be a new flagship for the brand. Enter Jordan Spieth. All of that is a lot, I would assume, for someone of his age to both digest and then also maintain your status as world elite golfer. Meanwhile, all these other players around him, his peers, ascendancy. Justin Thomas, John Rahm, all winning, all successful, world number ones. I just feel like Jordan Spieth didn't have a chance to... He just flatlined. And he was trying to get back up to where the world, including us, expect him to be. There's no mediocre Jordan Spieth. It is all the great moments Jordan Spieth. Now, with time off, you know he's been working hard. He's back at Colonial, where he's won before. His course history here is unrivaled. In his backyard, like I said, working hard, all of it. Plus, you're in the elite field. Plus, all of these guys are really on at the same level after this much of time off? I mean, how many times did Jazz Jane wanted it on non-on? Asian tour number one. How many times has he won professionally? He couldn't even come close to winning on the West Florida Golf Tour. He was getting beat by guys who have day jobs. Even Joel Damon on the Outlaw Tour or Golden State Tour could not win. Alex Chayka took him a few tries. JJ Spahn could not win. There's a lot to be said for guys when there's no crowds, when there's no pressure on the ground, which there will be not that crowd pressure this week for Jordan Spieth too. Plus, no one is really in form. I think Jordan Spieth has a chance at a course he likes and has done well at to get that swagger back, is my point. Now, to your questions, and then we'll go right into Ryan. That's the platform. What do you think of golfers with kids' narrative that they can't win going around? From Baz and McLaugh. Let me read that sentence again because I'm not sure it's a sentence. What do you think of the golfers with kids' narrative that they can't win going around? Oh, okay. So that narrative's going around. Listen, I launched a website, doing a podcast, drove kids 10,000 miles. My wife and I, it's amazing once you're parents, you can handle anything. So, no. Plus, these people have 12 nannies. Nothing. It makes you a stronger person when you have children. Because golf, winning a golf tournament is the easiest part of your life. If for those of people who know and who have had children. Or who have children. Why not brand the new site under the Golf Landy umbrella from Josh Hornsby? Well, I mean, you could always say Green Square Golf Landia at some point. I think it's a distinct item. I think Golf Landia is my media brand. Everything falls under that label. This is more data-driven. This was Mike's baby for such a long time. And the thing that drew why I created the brand Green Square Golf is because the fundamental element to the visuals for Mike Sheets were always the squares. Yellow squares wins, green squares, top tens. And you instantly analyze the page based on form, based on finding those green squares. It was just, you know, so elemental in how I did research every week, and so many of us did research. That's why I like the brand Green Square Golf. Josh. Did Daddy's Chalk, did COVID-19 kill Gore's history? Never. You remain a truther, Daddy's Chalk. I'm going through the questions here, by the way. I've not lost my mind. Dan DiNunzio, Daniel Berger beats Jordan Spieth in the playoff on Sunday. Oof. That's a hot take. I like Daniel Berger. I like him for value. I like him to do well here. It's his type of track. And the Model TM, by the way, that machine's been fired up. It may say so, too. Florida Bulldogs, who withdraws? Whew, Jason Day. Let's just call it like we sees it right now. Chris Hollander, FNGC. Ah, I love having all these guys back. Chris Hollander's the man. I did not mute Chris Hollander. I muted basically everyone else. When are you playing on the Outlaw Tour? I think one of us should do an Outlaw Tour event. You could sign up, play, get killed. Why not? What a great little tour. Putt Sweat. I did mute Putt Sweat. Will your new site be able to handle more than 4 simultaneous users sometime in the near future? I'll hang up and listen. My response to Putt Sweat? I can't believe it's June and you're still alive. One of the best comeback artists in Twitter golf. Putt Sweat. Doesn't mean you have to like him, but he can sling it. That was pretty good. So no, I'm hoping the site can handle more than four users simultaneously. If not, just get together, let each other know when you're going to use it, and three of you just hang in till they're done. It's like having one bathroom stall on a plane. Just hang in there. Craig Martin and Jay Huffman had similar questions. How will scoring correlate between spectators versus no spectators? I think they will go lower, in my opinion. Here's my analysis on that. That's a good question by both of you. Better phrased by Craig Martin, Jay Huffman. I think, based on what I've seen in the Outlaw Tour with no fans, there seemed to be an inordinate amount of less pressure on these golfers playing against other players like Joel Damon, who are PGA professionals. These guys were amazing. These Outlaw Tour pros. They tore these courses apart. It was impressive. Now, I think what differentiates a lot of these guys who are on tour, obviously their game is maybe more refined because they have the money and time and resources to do it, but they also can handle the pressure of crowds and noise and TV and media. I mean, that's the difference. It's what you're able to do at the most important times on the golf course. Take it a step further, the 16 major winners are the ones who can do it at the most critical moments. At with everything on the line, Brooks Koepka. Just ice in your veins. And I think that's a big difference. And I think that's why you're probably going to see someone from deeper in the field succeed here. Maybe not win, but do well. I think anything's on the table. No crowds, no form. Everyone's just getting back, stretching, knocking the rust off. And, you know, not a lot of pressure. I mean, plus you put everything in perspective. You know, COVID almost took your career away. Now all the things you probably worried about, like, you know, I hate everything on the PGA Tour, I'm going to go play on the PGL. I think you probably pretty much enjoy your career. It's outdoors. There's social distancing. You can stay close to home. You have it okay. Is that it? Let me go through this. I'm trying to speed. I can't read that well. I'm trying to speed read. What six players should I pick to win the Millie Patriot? You stand by. I'll give you those picks. Andrew Brooks, Reds_Bengals_UC. Final question. In your opinion, when marketing a tangible product, what is the most important aspect when considering perception? I think there's two things. A, is it clear? Does it make sense to the end user? And B, especially in this day and age of marketing, post-COVID, post-economic crisis, I follow this account on Twitter. What's it called? It's called Influencers in the Wild. All these Insta-famous Instagram people who are influencers who just get photos, photo ops, in front of events to look like they're important. That model is going out the window. Authenticity rules, especially in this marketplace. What can you deliver me? I will buy it if it makes sense and it's authentic and I can trust it and there's no BS. I think clarity in a brand, to answer your question, is fundamental. And that may seem simple, but oftentimes it's not. Can you define your brand in a sentence? Can you tell, if someone said, what's Green Square Golf? Tell me what it is, if you don't know it already. Pro golfer, course history, and recent form across all golf tours. I'll say that again in a complete sentence. Pro golfer course history in recent form across all golf tours. Okay, what's that for? It's built for fantasy players, bettors, and enthusiasts. That's what we do. Why do you call it green square? Well, when you look at the sheets that provide the things I just told you, you want to look for green squares because that indicates good form or good course history. That's what we call it, green square golf. The logo's green, and it's square.com. Buy your subscription today. But don't do it all at once, like Putt Sweat, because the site will break. Let's talk to Ryan.
Cash rules everything around me. Cream, get the money.
Tiger Woods, y'all.
All right, Ryan, it was a fun Players' Championship last week that we enjoyed, right?
Yep, happy to be back. It was a great first round. We were dead, obviously.
It's been 3 months. What's going on?
Crazy,
buddy.
Yeah. No, been stuck at home. Been having a lot of time with kids. Been working hard. So, but yeah, we're making the best of it, and excited to have some semblance of sports back this week.
You know, I almost lost your music file, your intro music file, because it's been so long since you've been on the podcast. But we found it.
There we go. Easy to duplicate.
Cash. What's that?
It's easy to duplicate. So. If we have to.
Here's the funny part, because we're going to roll right into golf. No pleasantries. You, me, and Saul were texting in a group, and we're obviously all pumped for the Colonial this week. It took 2 seconds for you to submit a team to the group and show it to make us physically ill. So everything is back.
Yeah, back to making my first reaction team, and we're going to stick with it. I'm not going to pretend to be an expert this week and know how guys are going to react, so make one team and fire it off and stick with your takes. That's it.
Well, there were no North Americans. There were no Central Americans. There were no South Americans. There were no Australians. There was no one from Asia. It was Shane Lowry and his five brothers.
We have a strong Euro contingent here, so...
Well, the typically we lead off with smart golf bets, right? Or typically we lead off with what happened last week. There was no last week. There were no leaders last week. There's no strokes gained leaders. There's nothing. There's no chit chat.
Yeah, last week we were playing NASCAR.
And then, but by the way, shame on you. And then I did go down that route. I went Belarusian soccer. I got really interested in LOL for a few days.
Yep.
Outlaw Tour was pretty good for a little while. Number one, Green Square Golf has now merged with Mike Miller's Smart Golf Bets. So Mike and I are partners in Green Square Golf. So this segment's brought to you by Green Square Golf.
I saw that's exciting news. Happy. I was worried because he obviously said he was short on time and wasn't sure if the sheet were going to continue. I use him every week, not just for this, but for my Euro betting, for Challenge Tour, you know, whatever he's got. I read it. So
you interrupted my ad read, but that's okay. You did a better one. But for those who don't know Green Square Golf, it's historical form, course form. Everything that we typically base our projections on, how a golfer is trending, how they've performed at this course. Mix in our friend Chris Durrell, Jagerbombs. I still don't know his Twitter handle. I'm just going to wing it, 9. And then you've got some picks. Mike Miller's notes from greensquare.golf. We couldn't afford the .com.
No, fair enough. One important question here. Will Mike's geography notes still be included?
Everything. It's a huge part of the site.
There we go.
Plus, Ryan, we gave you a comped account.
Very exciting.
There is a My Notes section where you can record your own notes, and it stays with that file and that tournament for the next upcoming years.
That is very useful because I know people were always asking, you know, week in and week out, hey, that sheet from 3 weeks ago, I can't find it. And this would be helpful.
All right. So Mike Miller's notes, Colonial Country Club, location, Fort Worth, Texas, par 70, 7,200 yards. We always say it's not longish. That's fucking long. I mean, the courses we play, par 72, that's a par 70, 7,200 yards. For these guys, it's not. Flat, tight, treeland, tree-lined, parklands, a shot maker's track. My input, you've got to hit fairways. There's overhanging trees everywhere. If you're not in the center cut, you're in trouble with your approach shots. Holes 3 through 5 are known as the horrible horseshoe. Mike says it's claustrophobic, windy. Yes, wind is a huge problem here. 13 miles an hour this weekend, I think it's going to blow. 4 water hazards, 84 bunkers, a lot of dog legs. It's a true test. Rough is Bermuda mix. The greens are smallish. Accuracy is critical. Obviously, long driving, no. It's Fort Worth in June. It's really hot. One small note, all winners except Spieth over the past 18 years were age 30 and over. It's interesting. I'll wait till the segment because we'll play it after this one. But Mike's the way Mike broke down how he arrived at his final 4 players. Interesting pick.
Yeah.
So
I agree with a lot of what you said. You know, I think the weather is going to be a bigger issue than people think. Not just the heat, but the wind. It's going to make this course very, very firm, very challenging, especially around the greens. I've played here before, and I can tell you that the greens are small. And they may not seem that small, or the square footage may not be that small, but they are small. And there are some tabletop greens that are very, very small targets. You mentioned the overhanging branches. That's not just in the fairway. That's around the greens as well. So even if you are in the fairway, and I think about hole 3, if you're not on the right side of the fairway, you're not hitting the right side of the green anyways. So I will definitely put a premium on accuracy. I think the off the tee accuracy isn't quite as important because guys do not have to hit drivers here, but you can hit drivers here. You know, when we saw Rahm a couple years ago finish runner up here, he hit driver basically everywhere. So you can hit 8-10 drivers here if you want to, but most guys are probably only hit 4 or 5. In terms of the course length, I think it is important to note that there are a lot of pretty short and gettable par 4s. The par 5s here are long. Par 3s are pretty long. So the scoring holes are actually the par 4s, which makes it a little bit different from most courses we see.
Yes. I'll tell you my Model TM weightings here in a second, but you basically hit on all of them. But if you look at the sheets from Green Square Golf, see how you do it? Look at the historical form here of guys who have succeeded. Rahm, Simpson, Webb, Koepka, Jordan Spieth, Justin Rose, Kevin Na, Kevin Kisner. All of them are elite around the green, scrambler, wedge type players. Mm-hmm. Rahm, arguably one of the best bunker players with Webb Simpson in the world. Spieth, we know, you know how good he is and can be. Kevin Na, one of the best scramblers in the world. So you have to have some creativity, like you said. In that regard, and we're going to jump in right to the model. My weighting this tournament, par 4 scoring, scrambling, sand saves, approach, I went with driving accuracy on the light side. And heavy on birdies are better.
Mm-hmm.
Because what I've learned playing Outlaw Showdowns for 3 months is the importance of birdies. I know that's a very generic, well-known, common, duh, you're an idiot, Wiley concept. But you don't – I always factor in my head fit order of finish. You have to have guys who put up a ton of scores. I'm going to weight that so heavily this year in the Model TM. I'm going to win all the money. In the model breakdown, the first Model TM of post-COVID 2020 golf, here are the 10. Webb Simpson, 1. John Rahm, 2. Sungjae Im, 3. Justin Thomas, 4. Daniel Berger. I threw that. That's not even a hoax for you, Ryan.
Wrong geography.
You need to address that quick early and embrace that Daniel Berger is going to do well this week. Bryson DeChambeau, 6th. Gary Woodland, I know you like him, 7th. Rory, 8th. Xander, 9th. And one of my few outrights, Adam Hadwin, 10th. Where are you?
Hadwin. Interesting. Yeah. So our top two are the same. I would flip them. You know, I've looked at a lot of different stuff. It is always Rahm and Webb for me. I do have Rahm weighted a little bit more, but if we're just going kind of odds and value, I'll take the 25-1 over the 15-1. So they are definitely up there. Scottie Scheffler is 3, JT 4, Morikawa 5, Patrick Reed 6, Brooks 7, Bryson 8, M 9, and a tie between Usti and Matt Kuchar for 10.
That was my model TM. Of course, there's the eyeballs TM.
I like the eyeballs better.
Totally. The model, I take the model and it just is confirmation bias for my eyeballs TM. My eyeballs say Spieth Na. Spieth Na Webb on top. M Hadwin Lonto. Love Lonto Griffin. Rahm, Morikawa, Scheffler, totally agree on those. Scheffler won every minor tour he played, I think, during this break. And he beat decent fields. He beat Victor Hovland like 30 times. Hyperbolic. But Scheffler has played some tournament golf. I'll just leave it there. Mm-hmm. And then Patrick Reed. But I want guys who have these efficient games, who are great all round. Morikawa, virtually flawless game. This week at tough courses.
Yeah,
Scheffler's... Any value picks for you?
Yeah, I just want to talk about Scheffler real quick. You know, he's going to be interesting because he's going to be extremely popular. I would say at a minimum 12-15%, and as you get into higher buy-ins, probably higher. A couple concerns about him would be, you know, number one, not the most accurate. Number two, not a very good par three player. I think iron play, especially par three scoring on this par 70, is going to be important. And so I think those things plus ownership, like you have other really good players around him. I mean, you have Woodland, Finau, Kuchar, Fitzpatrick, Spieth. Like you have a lot of other options there. So he's probably the one guy that I'm going to stay away from. In terms of value, I mean, yes, there's a lot. And that's just because we have a strong field at the top. But I think, you know, looking down at tiers, that a mid seven from 73 to 77 or 76 is going to be where you need to make your choices this week. I can make arguments. I won't say Berger, but I mean, you mentioned Berger, but between Berger, Na, Kisner, English, Homa, Joel Damon, Palmer, Horschel,
McNeely.
Like, yeah, all of those guys, like probably two of them are going to be on the winning team. So it's about picking the right ones. If I had to pick from that group, I would say number one for me would be Na, and number two would be Ryan Palmer. And that's a combination of guys who were playing pretty well earlier this year and who have the best course history.
Let me tell you my top 10 value, meaning my projected model points versus price on DraftKings. And this really goes into the bookmakers field too, because it's pretty corollary to DraftKings prices or the books. I mean, in terms of value on DraftKings and price on the books. Webb, Berger, M, Hadwin, Burgoon at 6,100. Mm. Brendan Todd, who was, well, I won't say it. McNeely, Norin, Woodland, Kuchar. I'll go to this. I'll name two or three guys at each price range, and you can do the same. I'll start with the sevens because I mentioned McNeely. Maverick McNeely, number one, he puts up a lot of points, but he was playing phenomenally well going into this layoff.
Mm-hmm.
He is, let me check the stats here. He's eighth on tour in scrambling up to this point, 13th birdies or better, and 5 in sand saves.
Yeah. And a
pretty good putter.
He's a great putter. Yeah.
My 7,000, I agree with you. There's a ton in the sevens. Palmer, no argument there. Homa, no argument there. Berger, Nah, McNeely. Berger, Nah, McNeely are my three in the sevens.
Mm-hmm.
This, in the 10-plus range, I agree with you, Rom. The nines, Webb and M, I think Rom, Webb, and M are going to be very highly owned. Eights, Scheffler, Spieth, Finau, all very highly owned. Sevens, yeah. I said Berger, Nah, and McNeely. You're going to find your million-dollar ticket there, I agree. Or perhaps in the sixes, where I love Lonto Griffin because he drives it very straight. He's a very, very good around the green, good putter, and he's won on tour recently. Brendan Todd, same thing. What about Josh Teeter?
He's way at the bottom, right?
6,000.
Yeah.
That's an insulting price for him because he has course form here.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of options. And I think once you get down that low, I mean, all these guys are pretty cheap. And, you know, I guess it doesn't matter. What I tend to find is when you have pricing the soft, you know, these sort of events and majors, everyone flocks to the same people. Like in the sevens, it's going to be Horschel, On, Palmer, like those sort of guys. And then lower, right, mid sixes, you know, you have RCB, you have Harold Varner, like those sorts of guys that everybody likes to play. And like, it just feels like one of those weeks to stay away and just choose other guys because you have really good values at all the price ranges that people aren't going to play. You know, Spieth is going to be an interesting one. Like, and people are going to play Spieth, maybe, I don't know, 8%, maybe 10%, just depending, probably lower. But I mean, they just added Sergio Garcia at the same price, 8,000. He's one here. He was playing pretty well. Like, I don't think people are going to play him.
Nope.
In the nines, I definitely think, you know, Webb and Morikawa are probably the best odds for me, the best values for me. And then definitely Rahm above that. I don't think I would play anybody in the tens if it's not John Rahm. There's always an argument for Rory, always an argument for JT, but Rahm was playing as well as anybody, and he's the one who's played well here before. So I would definitely choose him if I pay up that high.
I did 4 bets.
Mm-hmm.
Spieth, Nah, out of the gate, automatic. I could not believe 50-1.
Yeah.
And I did Lonto and Hadwin. I think they were 120-ish. Hadwin just kept popping in the Model TM. I just love his game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Can be an elite putter, great around the greens, drives it relatively well and straight. He's just efficient. He's like a young Steve Stricker.
Yeah, he seems to have a pretty solid all-around game. He doesn't do anything flashy, but when he was playing well, the irons were great. So I could definitely see that. He's a guy who, again, is going to pop for a lot of people just based on recent form. I think he'll be pretty popular as the punt in cash plays. People were playing him. They were playing Matt Neesmith. They were playing Harry Higgs. Like, I think those guys are still going to be popular. I have 5 bets. I don't love them. I got a little carried away. So I did bet Webb. I bet Justin Rose just because 40 seemed like a lot. He's won here. He dumped the crappy clubs he was using. I'll take guys like that. I mean, give me any of those high-end players at 40 and I'll take them. And then I bet 3 bombs. I bet Poulter. Just feels like a good course fit for him. At 100, and Mickelson at 110, and your guy Fratelli, 200. I didn't even get into that, but he is one of my favorite sleepers this week. I think he obviously went to Texas. There's that narrative. He won at the John Deere, which is a comp course here. Now, granted, he won that based on putting and scrambling, but he won at the John Deere, which is a comp here. You look at the guys who have won here, ZJ, Stricker, etc. And I feel like a firm windy course, is right up his alley. So, I mean, he's very, very deep, mid sixes. I don't think he's going to win, but a pretty sneaky guy who could make a lot of DraftKings teams valuable.
I will say I talked to one of his caddies, and even though he has not played this course before, his game is crisp. Because I think Fratelli, like Teeter, is someone who fits this course pretty well.
Yeah. He also tweeted
something. The only thing is lack of experience on this course, which I think is probably a little fundamental to success here.
Yeah, I mean, I assume he's played here before at some point. He also tweeted something a couple weeks ago. He shot a 60 in a practice round. I don't know where he was playing or who he was playing with.
Here?
No. Just not playing on his own, but he said it was the lowest round of his career. So regardless, anywhere you're shooting 60, you're doing something well.
We did it, Ryan. I thought that was a pretty good podcast for not having any prep for 3 months.
I don't even know what country you're in, so.
I can't tell you.
Yeah, I assume you're still in Canada, but it was
thanks
fun.
For giving it away.
I'm happy to have golf back. I'm happy for your new venture with Mike. Please send me my login so I can make some team.
yes.
And back to normal. We'll chat next week.
All right, man.
See ya.
Thanks. Well, hello, partner, Michael.
Hey, partner. What a day.
So for those who have not been on Twitter in the last few hours, Michael Miller from Smart Golf Bets, of course, and me have partnered in a new platform for Mike's site that we all know and love, smartgolfbets.com, called Green Square Golf. And the how of it and the why of it we'll get into in a second, but we've been using... My comment was to you, the 10-year free trial of Smart Golf Bets is over.
Yeah, it has been a labor of love.
There's been a tremendous amount of work involved in everything you do every week with your sheets. And the survivability of this long term was something that was very important to me, and I know important to a lot of people who use it. And so for the last year... I mean, this isn't something that just dawned upon us in COVID. We've been talking about this for a while. And how do we build a platform for you under a new brand that we can build an economy around it that adds to its sustainability, but then also adds to future development and growth? And Green Square Golf, because all of our eyeballs search for that green square every week, every day, is the brand. So, Talk for those who don't know Smart Golf Bets and now Green Square Golf. The fundamental behind it, the mission is golfer course history and golfer form, recent form. Mike and I have been doing podcasts together, or at least involved in the broadcasting media, Twitter personality side of golf for over 3 years now. There hasn't been a week that I've gone by on Golflandia that I haven't mentioned Mike or how much I use Smart Golf Bets. For the person that doesn't know much about it, Mike, talk about where you started with it, your mission with it, and really the genesis behind our relationship.
Yeah, well, the genesis of the software goes way back to 2003. And everything was in spreadsheets, and eventually I had some software developed, and that subsequently led to the publication of some sheets. I'd gone down various different tracks, including a lot of statistical analysis, but after a while I reached the conclusion that form, actual placings in tournaments, encompassed all of those statistics that I'd been looking at. And at the time, I was looking at 10 or 15, and now there are like 100. But it encompassed not only all of those statistics, but also all of the other things that affect golfer performance, like relationship with caddy, weather, course conditions, travel hassles, a bad bed in the hotel, a bout of diarrhea from food poisoning. You name it. So in the end, I decided, partly because it was simple, but also because it made sense, that form was all. So I started summarizing form, not only on the course that the person happens to be playing this week, but their form over a number of weeks and months. And so really that's what Smart Golf Bets evolved into around about 2011, 2012. And it effectively became almost like a, if you're a horse racing fan, it almost became like a racing guide where you had the field and you had the form and you're trying to pick a winner.
And that's really how we approach golf ourselves, is that, you know, being in Kentucky, horse racing is a huge part of the economy of what makes Kentucky work. So reading a horse form has been something I've learned over the last 20 years I've lived here. But all of it is based on where the horse ran, where was he in comparison to the field, what were the track and weather conditions, how did he go leading up to that, what kind of track was it. The same principles apply to golf, at least for us, and how we read form and handicap a golf tournament. Which sort of leads me to today, before we get on the point of the development of Green Square Golf and where you can go with form, the different avenues that we plan in development that you can speak to. But what was, I saw a tweet from you last year, and we talk regularly over the last 3 years, but you've got twin babies now. I've seen what it takes to put these sheets together. I've seen the volume of data that you work with on a regular basis, the number of free hours you put in. What was the tipping point that you said, I really need to do something with this or set it aside, which is really your words?
Well, the tipping point was actually two tipping points, and it was in July last year. You and I were talking, as we quite often do, about doing something with all that golf data and monetizing it, commercializing it. And in the same month, we had twin babies, and one of the byproducts of that was that my wife started giving me a bit of a hard time. She said, "You're sitting there spending 25 or 30 hours a week on golf, and you're not really getting paid for it. You don't have a job. You spend about 10 hours a week with the babies. What the fuck?" And I didn't really have an answer to that, because I haven't really had a proper job for a long time. And, you know, her words sort of hit home. And at the same time, you and I were having these sort of theoretical discussions, and, you know, suddenly everything sort of clicked. So it was July 2019 that it sort of fell into place.
And I'm glad it did. The website today, I mean, it causes a lot of stress. We didn't expect it to essentially shut down every app in the world when we launched it. But there are a lot of thirsty golf betting fans out there ready for this first tournament at Colonial and the $1 million contest with DraftKings in particular. But it that's the ebbs and flows and the what happens when you launch a website worldwide. You're gonna get hammered. So Nathan diligently is working on this behind the scenes. But part of what we wanted to boil this down into the site's core mission and distinguish ourselves and what you do from other great websites out there in the marketplace. The core of it is, of course, form, like you mentioned. Up to 23 weeks, 24 weeks now of recent form for every golfer. 40 plus tours around the world, 11,000 plus golfers in your database. You have 3 to 4 sheets per week, and we call the templates with form your sheets, including their course history back, gosh, how many years, Mike? 11 years, 10 years in your database?
Well, the number that the database spits out is 12 years, but if we extend it a little, you know, we could go back as far as 2002 on some tours.
What was in this whole development of the project, what was the number one thing that we talked about that a lot of your users, even on your free site, asked you to develop for your Smart Golf Bet site, now Green Square Golf, in relation to form? And what do we plan to do soon with it?
Yeah, it's been a recurrent theme and something that I haven't been able to solve on my own, and that is because of the depth and breadth of coverage in the database, like those 40 tours that you mentioned, 27 men's tours and 13 ladies' tours, form can pop up on a sheet that nobody understands. It could come from a qualifying tournament, Q school. It could come from a lesser tour that most people aren't aware even exists. And the problem that my users have encountered is, okay, Chris Kirk had a second 4 weeks ago. I didn't even know he'd been playing for the past 6 months. What the hell's that second place? So one of the developments that, as you mentioned, we've been working on is to make those form data points clickable, or tappable if you're on a mobile. The idea being that if you're interested in a particular form data point, you can tap it or click it, and a little box will pop up saying when it was recorded, what tournament it's from, and what tour it was on. And I think that's the final key, at least in this phase of the next evolution of Smart Golf Bets. That's the key to flesh out the picture for users.
And we're also, one of the new features now is, well, there's two, My Notes. So oftentimes, and I found myself doing this over the years, I keep notes relative to each tournament. Now, on each sheet in your database, there's a My Notes section where you can keep your own notes about the tour, about the tournament itself. Additionally, you can click on the course history number for a player. Let's say they finished second in 2016. Click on that number, it'll pull up the winner's list from that year. So, like in horse form, great, you finished second. Were you 36 lengths behind Secretariat? Or were you neck and neck going into the final day? All of that is going to be the foundation for the site, and all of it is going to be built upon in terms of how someone and like us look at form. What does that second place mean? Were they in first place? Or does that 10th place mean? Were they in first place for 71 holes? Was the weather windy during their flight? Was the field strength impossibly hard like it is at Colonial? And that gives a better picture of performance relative to all the other factors you talked about. Now, can we find out if they have diarrhea? Maybe. That's an added service, add-on paid, right?
Absolutely.
look at Colonial this week, Mike. Let's talk about the sheets themselves and how you use them. I'm going to tee you up for Colonial because it's the first tournament back in a while. What are you seeing without giving away the farm now, because it's a paid service? What are you seeing now with the field this week at Colonial in your numbers?
Well, if I can take 60 seconds or so, I can probably describe my entire process. I should probably preface my comments by saying, you know, we're all floundering in the dark a little bit here. None of us have ever approached a golf tournament coming off a 3-month suspension of everything, more or less, because of a pandemic. The last big pandemic was 2009. It didn't even, you know, kill several hundred thousand people, but didn't even cause a blip in the world of golf. But COVID-19 has. So we're all floundering around a little bit in the dark, and myself as much as anybody. But anyway, the process I went through was I produced the field, which is summarized on Green Square. The first thing I did was I eliminated all the players who were 250 to 1 and bigger with the bookmakers on the basis they can't win. The next thing I looked at was a fairly curious stat in relation to Colonial, and that is that I believe since Sergio Garcia in 2001, every single winner bar Jordan Spieth a few years ago has been aged over 30 or 30 or over. So I eliminated all the players in the field who are aged less than 30 and greater than 43. Also, based on the course notes that we have, this is one of those courses where experience counts. So I eliminated all the players who haven't played the course before. Then I eliminated all the players who have never had a top five on the course before. So going through those eliminators, I finished up with 19 players. Now, leading on from that, one of the things we're going to do with Green Square Golf each week is we're going to publish our own prices or odds on the event. So that's been done, and those prices are up there now. And looking at my 19 players that were left, there were only four there that we at Green Square rated shorter than or a better chance than the bookmaker market out there. And those four players were Kevin Na, Harris English, Brendan Todd, and Ches Revy. So I narrowed the field down to four by those means that I just described. So the next thing I did was went back to the course notes and looked at what the key metrics were for success on this course. And certainly you need to be accurate off the tee. Those pecan trees make those fairways look pretty narrow, and you can get into a lot of trouble if you're offline. And perhaps even more so this year with no spectators. So there's nobody to stop those offline balls going way into the deep stuff. There's nobody to give a ball a friendly kick back into play. There's no backstop behind the greens for shots that overshoot. So I went to the stats, which I don't do that often, but I wanted to have a look at these four players in terms of their accuracy off the tee. And that enabled me to eliminate Kevin Na, who's ranked 72nd and 99th for driving accuracy the past two seasons, or last season and this season. And also eliminated Harris English, who's finished 111th and 82nd in driving accuracy. Brendan Todd, this current season, ranks 5th, and Ches Revy ranks 8th and ranked 1st last year. So a combination of our course notes, my elimination criteria, and some driving accuracy stats, finished up with two players, Brendan Todd and Ches Revy. Ches Revy's about 125 to 1, we rated him 100. And Brendan Todd's 150, 160 to 1, and we rated him 90 to 1. So
there it is.
Todd's probably our first pick, Ches Revy our second. Looking outside the favourites, you know, first game up for 3 months, it was sort of easy to ignore a Rory at 6 to 1 or a JT at 12 or 14 to 1 and look for a bit of value further down the list.
The first pick, the number one overall pick for Green Square Golf is Brendan Todd, Ches Revy, 1-1A.
Yeah, scary.
I can get behind that, Mike.
It's scary.
How are they out of bunkers? That we'll have to figure out.
Well, as I probably mentioned a couple of times, I really don't pay much attention to stats, so I couldn't tell you off the top of my head.
Well, I think that, number one, that was more than 60 seconds, but well earned. I don't think we can condense that to 60 seconds every week. It's just so much I want to learn, and people want to learn and know. But I think that one of the things we want to do with this podcast is and put it on the Green Square Golf on Twitter at Green Square Golf, is do a short segment like that as to what the data is speaking to us every week, taking the book prices and saying, what are the discrepancies that we see in our algorithms that produce our own? And then giving a, you know, a high level look at form. So we'll see how it fares this week with Todd and Na. I'm completely behind Kevin Na. At 50 to 1, Mike, both him and Jordan Spieth. I know he's under 30, but I think Jordan Spieth's going to come back with an if you're talking about psychology of golf, which I like getting into a little bit, I think that this is his time to rebound quickly. Perfect tournament. His backyard. He's won there before. His course history is fantastic. Check it out on our website. But I think we're in the same book in terms of the style of golfer that needs to succeed here. Regardless, you're tired. You're stressed out. You've had a lot of coffee and cigarettes. We got the site launched. It's currently live. It went down a few times, but we'll get through it. Get some sleep.
Absolutely. Thanks, Matt. Yeah, it's been a long day. I mean, I'm 7 hours ahead here in Uganda. So when we're recording this, it's 3 a.m. and I got up at 5 yesterday morning. So yeah, it's been a long day, but very, very interesting and quite satisfying.
Well, congratulations, Michael. I know you've been at this for a long time. You're live now, and only the best things for us, hopefully.
Yeah, and a final word from me on that topic, a big thank you to you. I mean, for me, it was a choice of somehow working out how to monetize my output or just quit and go and spend time with the babies. Hopefully, I'll be able to do both.
Yes, that's the plan. I appreciate that, Mike. Same sentiments to you. Get some sleep, and we'll talk soon, obviously.
Okay, cheers. Thanks, Matt. See ya.
Thanks, Matt.